On my walk to the studio today, something kind of dawned on me. I was walking, it was windy, it was cold. I was pulling up to the studio. I said to myself, now this is football weather. You know, you see all these games going on in Miami and this nice weather, 25 degrees, Tua's chucking the ball all over the field, but it's really when it gets to that Minnesota and Ontario weather that is just, you know, it's not the best, but it is what football is made for. And we're lucky enough, as students at Laurier to have a football game to go to in such crummy weather tomorrow, actually. Saturday is the host, Laurier's hosting the Yates Cup. I know everyone's kind of rallying around that, buying their tickets. So we're here to kind of chat about some of those things and see, preview the game a little bit, talk about what's kind of going to be some storylines that's going to be going on. I'm here with, of course, with Ian, sports manager, and Zach. So we're going to kind of get into things, boys.
Of course. Great introduction by Connor there. Yates Cup tomorrow, University Stadium. Your Wilfrid Laurier Golden Hawks. Sold out game, by the way. Last tickets, I think, got sold out yesterday. So sold out game against the Western Mustangs, of course. This previous week also was the OUA Awards, and Laurier football kind of cleaned house. Of course, Taylor Elgersma, not only athlete of week for Laurier, but the now back-to-back OUA MVP, not to mention, of course, another back-to-back member of the Laurier football program, Coach of the Year, Michael Faulds, both back-to-back coaches of the year. So back-to-back for Taylor Elgersma and Michael Faulds, as well as a first-team All-Star. I wouldn't run down because there's a lot of us part of the Golden Hawks, part of the first-team All-Star. Elgersma, Ethan Jordan, Rayden Thorne, Cooper Hamilton, Josh Reitveld, Sebastian Parsilides, Johari Hastings, Tayshaun Jackson, second-team All-Star, Tanner Nelms, all-rookie team, Mateo Lacquintana. What a lineup.
Holy smokes is my first reaction. My second reaction is, and not to be critical of the OUA because scheduling is an absolute nightmare, but I think we can all agree that giving out all of these awards, not to say it's going to make us complacent because we're a hungry football team and Coach Faulds has these boys dialed in, but is there a part of the fan in you that is a little bit, and maybe Zach, I'll throw this to you, is there a part of you that's a little bit worried we're collecting all of these awards and then the one that we really want is being awarded tomorrow? I mean, during the week, you know, Coach of the Year, great award, but that's not necessarily a Yates Cup. Can you
Yeah, for
feel,
sure.
yeah,
Like, that's why most leagues, like, they do their honors and awards like after the season's over, and just so like the players aren't complacent like through the playoffs, and they don't have any like outside distractions, and they can really lock in. But yeah, like you said, Coach has got the boys dialed in, and I don't think it'll be an issue tomorrow. I don't see it, because while this is a Yates Cup rematch from last year, I think that they're gonna come back hungry to win it after Western's won, what, 3 straight years?
I think four, and you
Four?
touched on it. They are hungry. I was just looking. The NBA MVP is awarded before the playoffs. I think before the playoffs begin, or maybe in the first or second round, but we have seen Steph Curry win the NBA championship and win the
Exactly.
MVP. So it's not to say that anything is, we got to throw our hands up and be all worried about the performance of tomorrow's game because a couple of awards have been given out. That's me being overdramatic. However, you did mention it. I think Western's, yeah, going for their fourth Yates Cup in a row. Of course, Laurier gave them a good run last year, but that game, of course, Ian, was in Western.
Yes.
I don't know if you went to it. I did get to go.
Did you? Yeah,
It
I did
was
go.
It was a good game. Lost a little bit of steam in the second half, but something that Laurier has probably looked at, watched a lot of film over the off season and into this year. And in the regular season, they took care of the Mustangs pretty handily.
They did, of course, Laurier going over the Mustangs there. And, you know, the Golden Hawks, they had a tougher matchup against the Queens Gaels, of course, in the semifinals. And it looked like the Gaels might actually come out with that win. It was a close game. Laurier was down at a point, of course, in that semifinals last week. So it was so thankfully Golden Hawks got out of it, and they came back with a great tenacity, which really gives them an extra boost and momentum against these Mustangs. Of course, the Mustangs did, however, also vanquish the Guelph Griffins.
What a word.
In the semifinals. I love the word vanquish. And you mentioned, yeah, Western, of course, three years in a row, the Yates Cup champions, looking for the four-peat. And Western, of course, 2020 didn't have any competition. 2019 was taken by Mack, but then 2017, 2018, they were also back-to-back champions. So this Mustangs football program has been excellent for a while. And if you're looking for just flat-out great football to watch, make sure to tune in on OUA TV. And I'm sure some of the local Rogers channels are also carrying the game. It's sold out, so tickets are gone. You can't get those anymore. I know the Wilfs Pub on campus is also going to be covering the game. OUA TV is going to be covering the game. Local news stations are going to be covering the game. It's a big deal here in Waterloo as the Golden Hawks host the Yates Cup. Predictions for that game, Zach?
I think Golden Hawks were taking the dub, man.
That'd be right answer.
And look, Western's one of those teams, like you mentioned, historic record. Their coach, head coach Greg Marshall, on the Sunshine List, making great money. So they invest a lot of financial resources, not only, but also human capital into this team. You go through this football coaching staff on the Western Mustangs. It's absolutely phenomenal. Just a lot of support that they have around them. So certainly going to be a tough matchup. Zach thinks they're taking the dub. I'm going to be there. They give out this little award called Fan of the Week. I will be in full purple, screaming, good. Not using any inappropriate profanities.
Of course, no way, no.
But
never.
I will be an electric factory. It's gonna be fun.
Taylor Algersma legacy game incoming.
Mm.
That's a good call. Of course, the reigning now back to back OUA MVP and the Golden Hawks again undefeated record through the regular season, and of course through this postseason. We'll see if that continues tomorrow. Make sure you catch it. Of course, elsewhere on the Golden Hawks campus, varsity athletics, women's hockey in action tonight. And a strong start to the season by the women's squad last year, if you remember. And recovering them last year. And they had a really slow start to the season and only made the playoffs really after a great late season push. Of course, this year, it's complete opposite. Of course, they're 5-1-1 to start the season. So that's good for 15 points and tied for second in the OUA West Division. Of course, they're tied with Guelph for that position. Of course, that game is tonight, 7 p.m. It's a home game, Waterloo Memorial Recreational Complex. Me and Connor are going to be on the call for that one. So that's going to be exciting.
Yeah, look, Ian, you said it. Strong Laurier women's hockey team this year. Also a strong play-by-play crew / roster.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Dream team right it's here. Just, and everyone who's covered for us has just been absolutely phenomenal.
I'll be honest.
The depth is just...
The depth is...
On roster depth.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. What I lack for in hockey intelligence and knowledge, I make up for in grit and...
tenacity.
Determination on the call.
First one in, last one out.
Well, maybe last one in, first one out. But regardless, should be a good game. I have... Zach, you wouldn't know this, but historically I have been a little bit critical of the women's hockey team, especially in sort of that opening season coming out of COVID. Really tough year. I did get a couple cheap shots in there, but now I'm really excited. These girls have gotten to know a lot of them, and they're doing great things. They're working hard, and they're finally putting up some offensive numbers that they can rely a little bit less on their goaltenders and still win games.
Definitely. I remember, since me and Connor's third year, right, covering.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is our third year covering. So I remember, back 2 years ago, I remember when they had the young, Ariel McDonald, Brianna Bowman.
Well, everyone was first and second year.
Yeah, those names, I remember. I see them grow now. They're fourth, fifth years, and now they're veterans, and see the team really kind of grow as we cover them. It's been excellent to watch. Of course, I did join you in kind of, taking some cheap shots at the Laurier women's team as they were not very strong in that first year, and I remember the other commentators kind of called me out on being a bit too harsh on our home team. But I'd rather be too harsh on our teams than too complacent or complimentary.
Yeah, here's the thing. When you're a little bit critical in situations where it might be appropriate to be critical, when you're complimentary, that means all the more. Because
it's earned.
Yeah. It's earned. Commentators who just hand out compliment after compliment, it sort of falls on deaf ears. It's like... does he really think that, or is he just saying it because that's what he's programmed
just
to
be
do?
Nice, right?
Exactly. Yeah, so Laurier coming off a 2-game win streak. They beat Guelph 1-0, TMU 2-0. And to note that TMU game, there was a first-year goaltender who attends my study hall. I'm just blanking on her name Sarah Howell. So her first shutout, she actually won Athlete of the Week with Taylor Elgersma. So she faced 22 shots and saved every single one in 60 minutes of play.
Yeah, of course, Howell. You've got the trifecta there. First OUA start, first OUA win, and first OUA shutout.
Yeah, I think that's a good. I think that's really good.
That's pretty good stat line, of course. So they play tonight at the Waterloo Memorial Recreational Complex. They play home versus U Ottawa tonight and then play against Ontario Tech tomorrow night. Of course, they're coming off that 2-0 shutout road win at TMU. Men's hockey, of course, not as good a start for the women's team. 2-4-2 for 6 points, which is good for second last in the OUA West and tied for third last overall. The men's hockey team not being able to get it done after the first couple starts of the season were wins from Christian Malba, of course, former Kitchener Ranger in net. They haven't been able to really string any wins together and fall down to 2-4-2. Of course, the extra two. Some losses in extra frames. So, theoretically, if they won those extra frames, they'd be 4-4, an even record. But wins are wins. They didn't win them. So they're down to second last in the OUA West. There's a silence. I had to fill it out.
It almost hit. That's okay.
I hit the wrong one, actually. I think I was looking for... That's a light blue one. I was looking for the dark blue one. I'm a bit colorblind. That's okay. Of course, the basketball team's also in action tonight. They're up north in Sudbury against the Laurentian Voyageurs. And, of course, men's basketball 2-2 so far. Women's basketball winless on the season, 0-4. How do you make of the basketball season so far, Zach?
The women's basketball team... I'm not gonna lie, guys. It's been pretty ugly. It's been pretty ugly. I called the game against the Ottawa GGs, and oh man, turnover. It was not the best showing, and then on defense, we're just getting ripped apart by their guards. It was not a fun game to call. I'll say, actually, it was a good game to call because it leaves something to be desired, some room for improvement. I think they can grow through the season. Carleton, of course, who they last played, they lost by, was it 3 points?
I think so, yeah.
And Carleton, they're a really good team in the OUA. Yes. So I think these are teams that are very challenging, and I think that's why they're taking them early, just as like a measuring stick and just to challenge the team. And then it might become a little easier later on in the season, and we'll grow from that, and, well, I hope that's what happens.
Definitely, yeah. Of course, both men's and women's team facing the Carleton Ravens last week at home, and both teams, of course, losing to the Carleton Ravens, whose basketball program, both men's and women's, now find themselves 4-0.
Damn.
So not a surprise there, historically.
Yeah.
Very dominant teams, of course. Coach Smart with the men's program for a long time. One thing to note about the women's basketball team at Laurier, just a couple things. Miranda Campbell not having the best shooting performance so far, but of course we all go through slumps. She's going to turn it around soon. At the Carleton game, Cassidy Hurdle with the flu. She allegedly threw up right after the game, was not feeling well at all. So a lot of the offensive load
I feel bad for calling her out on the broadcast.
Oh, well. And then Kate White kind of carrying the brunt of that offensive load. She's averaging, I think, 25, close to 30 points a game. Just really developed over, this is her third year now, really shown development throughout the 3 years.
Yeah, if there's a shining light on that team, it's Kate White.
And that jump shot is just
50% from three, I believe.
Is she 50%?
Yeah. And when I was doing my pregame prep for that Carleton game last Saturday, and I don't think they played a game since, so as of that game, in my notes, she was first in the league in overall points.
I think she's second now.
Second now, yeah. So, yeah, again, beat 0-4, but to have a player, on the podium for most points in the league. That is a shining light, but also shows that, if she isn't performing, then the rest of the team isn't. She's the catalyst for that offensive performance.
For sure.
And if she's off on the bench taking a break, if she's, has a tough assignment and not able to get to get the ball to her at certain possessions, the Laurier team just is unable to get any baskets in.
Yeah, in that Ottawa game, I believe she only had it around like, she was like under 10 points, yeah, I believe, and that's why we got like blown out so bad.
Another player, I forget who, I think Campbell maybe had like the most points in that game at 14, and then Kate White was held to like 10 or 9 or something like that. So yeah, if she's not, if the defense playing well against her, or she's not on the court, this women's team just does not have the offensive depth to really be able to put points on the board or drive some offensive plays without Kate White on the court.
Yeah, it's still early in the season, but we'll see if heading up north this weekend. So I think they're going to, you said they're playing Laurentian.
Yes.
I've been to Sudbury. I was in Sudbury in June and I was in Sudbury in July.
Yep.
Just an absolute dump. I'm sorry to say.
No, I was in Sudbury over the summer at a lacrosse tournament there. And there's a neighboring suburb of Sudbury called Garson. Garson is just about 20 minutes outside of Sudbury. The maybe the single worst place I've ever been in my entire life.
I think I know where you're talking about. It's just like,
it was the greasiest, it's unfortunate, slickest.
It's unfortunate when a city has
they got the big nickel.
I've been there actually. I could show you a picture. It's unfortunate when a city has a reputation, and then you go to that city and it absolutely lives up to the reputation of being just awful.
Yeah, but
sorry for any Sudbury listeners, but I just had to say that.
One of my friends goes to Laurentian.
Shout out Garson.
Garson, don't shout out Garson. Actually, it made me quit lacrosse, quite frankly.
I've never been to Sudbury.
Really?
And they after got, this, like, don't really plan like, on it.
In fairness, just to promote some of the tourism board of Sudbury, so we don't absolutely crap on it. The Big Nickel's kind of cool. They have a cool mine. You know, you can
What's
go
the
underground.
Big,
I'll give you three guesses.
I'll show you.
Is it a big nickel?
Hey, no way. First guess.
Oh. How about that?
Ain't no way. Oh, they have a mine system. They have a gift shop there. Mm. Now, I went when I was really little, and I got a squishy little lizard from the gift shop.
Oh.
And that's all Sudbury's done.
Did you get any nickels? Oh, that is a big nickel.
Yeah, this is a great audio show right now, but I'm showing a picture of the big nickel. Me,
I love visuals on a radio show.
Yeah, it was a good picture, but overall, the city.
They also have a statue of Stompin' Tom Connors, but he's playing like a C sharp chord,
funny.
Which I guarantee he has never played in his entire life.
I'm not a guitar nerd, but I assume
not
that,
familiar.
No, he's
funny, I believe you though.
He's played a C and a D. I guarantee he's never played a C sharp. Funny C sharp major 7.
Funny Stompin' Tom Connors story. So my grandpa's a little bit older, doesn't have the internet or anything like that. So obviously, big fan Stompin' Tom Connors. So one day, I forget when Rihanna performed in the Super Bowl.
I think last year, I think. Or 2 years ago.
2 years ago, I think. So
last year was Usher.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
She put on, Usher was pretty good. Like I give him a lot of respect for that one. But no, so Rihanna put on a pretty overall, like from a whole like cultural standpoint, a pretty great performance. Yeah. There was a little bit of everything for everyone. So just to kind of get under my grandpa's skin, I go out there and I was like, oh, what'd you think of Rihanna's Super Bowl performance? And he goes, oh, what was that? They got to put Stompin' Tom Connors up there and let him. And obviously, he said someone like because Stompin' Tom Connors has passed. But it was so funny.
That's wild.
That he thought that was what they were missing in the Super
Stompin'
Bowl.
Tom. They're missing some good old Canadian. They put Gordon Lightfoot on that. Yeah. Do a double bill.
Oh, fun fact. I'm like really close friends with Gordon Lightfoot's granddaughter. So
wait, actually?
Yeah.
I am probably the largest Gordon Lightfoot fan. This side of 40. I love Gordon Lightfoot.
Really? Now, if we play his music, we'll get copyrighted, obviously.
Probably. I think we're allowed to play like under like 10 seconds or so. But Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald anniversary coming November 10th.
Yeah?
So that's big in the Gordon Lightfoot world.
Yeah, like she used to like tell me all the...
Ain't no way.
The Gordon Lightfoot lore.
That's actually wild. Me and my friends, it was weird. Like last year, a couple of my friends really got into Gordon Lightfoot. This is before he passed. You know, like, that's a weird phase for a 19-year-old guy to
the
have.
The Gordon Lightfoot phase?
The Gordon Lightfoot phase. But I love Gordon Lightfoot. Like my grandparents always have the records playing when we were over. I have a Gordon Lightfoot. Like I listen to Gordon. He's probably my top 5 Spotify listeners. Yeah?
Wow.
Probably at the end of this year. I'm a big old school guy, like old school folk. It's like Bob Dylan, Neil Young is probably also on there. But Gordon Lightfoot, look, that's...
Yeah, I'm not going to lie.
Neil Young on Spotify?
Yeah.
Oh.
I knew what you said.
I thought he got taken off Spotify.
Gordon
anyway.
Neil Young. Neil Young's back on Spotify. He was
off. Oh, good.
Neil Young's back was off for a while.
I'm so happy.
Yeah, and Joni Mitchell was off too. She's back on.
Okay.
Crosby, Stills, and Nash was off. They're back on. Everyone's back on Spotify. It's a big deal. I'm going to stop talking. But... Gordon, that's yeah. I might have to keep I'm that not gonna conversation lie, going like, off air.
Yeah, no, I probably right like wouldn't know who he was until like everybody like some like when I first met her like at school were like, "Oh, are you related to Gordon Lightfoot?"
Her,
she's like, "Yeah."
Is her last name Lightfoot?
Yeah.
Ain't Wait, no is way. It Lily?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a
unrelated note.
Probably has a lot of grandchildren with all the affairs that Gordon Lightfoot has had.
That is true. He was
he was a dog.
He was a dog.
Big dog. Oh,
big dog. Yeah.
He was dogging it in the 60s and 70s.
Well,
yeah. But shout out, bro.
Shout out, bro. Of course, unfortunately, passed away.
Shout out, bro, in the skies.
In the sky, of course. Back into sports.
All right.
Segway.
This is a sports show.
This
yeah.
is Segway. Professionals. We can talk about some professional sports, yeah. of course. MLB, of course. Baseball season over after that. What was... last week we were talking about, of course, yep. last week we were calling it the largest finals collapse of 2024. Of course, now only the second largest finals collapse of 2024 after Tuesday night. Mm. Of course, Democratic Party. Of course, you have to be if you're the Democratic Party, you have to be thinking a rebuild, right? Like you have, like, I think all contracts are on the table.
Yeah,
you gotta be thinking.
Get some draft picks, get some capital.
Get some draft picks. They ran it back with a with a weaker lineup this trip around to the finals. Of course, I think you gotta tear it down. You gotta commit
well,
to a rebuild.
Are we talking about the World Series? Or are we talking about the political election?
I think you gotta. I think you gotta get draft picks. You gotta sell.
Mind you, in this election, they had an interim head coach.
True.
That like they switched head coach midway through the election process, yeah. So I think that definitely plays
that
a part.
That definitely did.
Like didn't have that much time to build the chemistry.
There's no chemistry. They're disjointed. Yeah. They're on the their defensive and goaltending lineup was I think weak. They're on the offensive, but they just kept taking shots. They just cycled it around. Didn't take any danger shots.
Coach
just kept taking shots and no presence in their defense.
Coach
zone.
Biden retired halfway through the season, like due to old age. So I just think. You know, with a young head coach and Kamala, like,
look,
it's hard. It's
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Aaron's Judge sucked in the World Series.
He did.
He was not good.
Oh, that was his batting average was brutal.
Yeah.
It was like 1.5 or something, or like 150.
Well, I tried to tap myself into the World Series. I didn't watch any of the playoffs. I watched every single game of the World Series. There were some good moments of Freddie Freeman home run in the
Freeman
first game.
World Series MVP, Freddie Freeman.
Yeah. Oh. Outstanding. Baseball was back for 2 weeks. I was in a 5-game series, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But it really got me excited for next year. I would love for the Blue Jays to be good again.
Just that ain't happening soon.
Me too.
Just from a...
Keep Atkins and Shapiro. That ain't happening soon.
Just from a country standpoint, kind of when everyone got behind the Raptors in 19, it was special.
That was so fun.
I just think it would be great.
I still have nostalgia for those like 15, 16 Blue Jays.
Oh well, yeah, that
Donaldson, yeah. Batista, amazing. You know, Pilar, Encarnacion. You know,
I've never
Sanchez.
Smiled harder than seeing Elvis Andrus drop a ball in that was a 7th inning collapse from the Texans.
Yep,
leading to the bat flip.
That was a wild inning.
Yeah. It was a 2-3 errors.
Yeah, of course. And then, of course, the Yankees' 5th inning in the most previous World Series, of course. That was disastrous. That was astonishing, borderline shocking mid-game collapse from the Yankees. So the Dodgers end up winning, of course, that series. 4-1 Freeman gets the MVP. Dodgers get the trophy. It's always strange, because, of course, that's what the MLB wanted, was Yankees versus Dodgers, Ohtani versus Judge. And those two players just didn't really factor in to the outcome of those series. They both had moments, but those two superstars weren't superstars.
Yeah, baseball is one of those sports. It's kind of like golf, where like the best player isn't always the best player. The best player is all about being consistently better. But in a singular game, it's such a small sample size that like. Expecting your best player to show up every single time is a little bit unrealistic, even though we've seen that in the past with Jeter and different players that have come through in those moments. From a statistical like likelihood of something happening that involves Judge and Ohtani, that is great, that defines their sort of legacy in the game, it is unlikely.
Yeah. Because in baseball, like, you're only really getting hits 30% of the time, so like chances are you're going to do worse than you will do really that great. So a 1-for-4 is like pretty decent, but
yeah.
The
so and you're getting what, four or five, maybe six at bats a game?
Yeah, four or five. Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's like, yeah.
Like an 0-for-4 is more likely than a 2-for-4, I believe. No one check my math. I'm not a math major.
Sure.
Someone Google that real quick.
Just trust me, bro.
But, no, I don't know what noise came out of it. I think that's kind of fair, you know, because like, you own four and you also have like walks that don't count as at bats, right?
Exactly.
And you know, get on base other ways. Yeah, but Aaron Judge and most of the Yankees just unable to really find any going. And you thought it was strange because like there's a lot of drama in that five game series. It was like a five game series that felt like a seven game series. Mm-hmm. You had Freddie Freeman's, you know, heroics in the first game. You had those Yankees fans, you know, getting involved, being the 10th fielder. And then you had the finals, you know, collapse of the Yankees. So it was a very like drama impacted series that, yeah, it was probably the most seven game feeling five game series I've watched in baseball.
Yeah. It was, that collapse at the end is just really knocks the wind out of his team, and especially being at the back end of a underwhelming series, you kind of had the feeling of it.
Yeah. And of course, elsewhere in the professional world, hockey. I actually haven't followed hockey in a while. I was going to say hockey just because I usually do a hockey segment, but I actually haven't followed hockey in the last time. I've been pretty drowning in, you know, schoolwork and other responsibilities. I haven't actually really been following hockey all that well, but I do know one of the Canadian teams, the Winnipeg Jets, are, you know, atop the league. They're doing real well, which, like, they did really well last year, but they don't have, like, the superstars on their team.
Is it still Hellebuck?
It's still Hellebuck and Net, which, of course, arguably the best goalie in the league. But, like, they don't have a McDavid. They don't have a McKinnon. They don't have a Crosby. They don't have a Bedard. They don't have a Draisaitl. They don't have a Pettersson or a Hughes or a Makar or all the all-star players. But they have just really solid, dependable players. In the first 14 games of the season, the Jets have won 13 of them.
Wow.
Damn.
And Hellebuck has been on fire the last couple games. And you could argue maybe the Jets' biggest star is, like, Mark Scheifele, who, again, great player. Maybe Josh Morrissey.
Cousins on the swim team here at Laurier.
Who?
Mark Scheifele.
Mark Scheifele, actually?
If you ask me, the Winnipeg Jets, admittedly not a hockey guy, I don't think I could name a single name for you, so nothing truly to add to this conversation. But
I just want to throw out that
maybe
Canadian team.
Maybe sort of the Winnipeg Jets are like the Laurier women's hockey team. Not, you know, they don't have the superstar, but collectively it's a bit of a 1+1=3 scenario.
The power of friendship.
Yeah, it is. Sure. It's a score by commission, really. Because as you mentioned, yeah, the Golden Hawks, the women's team, of course, don't have the superstar. None of them are on the first page of any stats of the OUA. Aside from the goalie, of course. Kayla Renault is kind of the Connor Hellebuck. Yes. Kayla Renault, of course.
Brilliant comparison.
Great comparison.
Actually, like, I just think of it. Kayla Renault is like a 960 save percentage, like the best in the league, I'm pretty sure. Or the goals against average thing, because like under one, I think 0.8. I think that's best in the league. And then goals against, or save percentage, not far behind. So
The girls are taking on Ottawa tonight. Ottawa does have a girl leading the OUA by 5 points right now. I think it's Adrienne Gagnon. She's from Quebec. She's 24 years old.
Sounds about right.
CJEP, the whole thing. So it'll be interesting to see if she can add to her point total. I think, 15 points in 8 games or something like that. That's, and 8 goals.
Yeah, so that's a goal game and almost 2 points per game. And OUA, you don't see that very often. So that's pretty exceptional for the women's side of hockey. And, of course, you mentioned you Ottawa Gigi's. Of course, this is their first season back in the OUA in about, 23 years.
Insightful.
Yeah, I know. They started women's hockey in the OUA, I think, the 2000-2001 season. Then they immediately moved to the Quebec University Sports League.
Yeah.
And so, and they won I think a second national in 2007, and they've won a couple titles for the Quebec University of Varsity Sports Association. And then this year, they're back in the OUA. So after like 23 years, they're back in the OUA. And not only are they back in the OUA, but of course, Carleton too is back in the OUA too. So the women's hockey OUA, teams, I guess, rosters grew by two as this season the league expanded really to two new teams. Not new teams, but returning teams. So U Ottawa and the Carleton Ravens, their first seasons back in the OUA in a while. So this is like, yeah, Ottawa's, you know, first time visiting Laurier in about like 23 years.
Yeah.
So a bit of a historic matchup tonight we get to call Connor.
Yeah, I wonder if there's any sort of skill, I'll call it a skill gap. You know how there's a difference between like, not OUA. What's competitive basketball in the States?
NBA?
No.
NCAA?
No. The AAU. How there's a difference between the AAU and like competitive leagues in Europe, how right. Europe's a lot more fundamental?
Yeah.
I wonder if there has been sort of a barrier or a divide set up in the OUA and in the Quebec League as far as that's maybe true. One's more offensive, maybe one's a little bit more technically sound. I have no idea.
Well, actually, funny you mentioned it. Quebec, actually, this goes for all of minor hockey, traditionally has been a breeding ground for really strong goaltending throughout hockey. Quebec and Quebecois leagues were really the first ones to coach these goalies from a young age.
And is that the reason, the coaching?
Yeah, it's coaching. Quebec coaches really adopted coaching these goaltenders strongly and at a young age. Because typically, you guys probably haven't played minor league hockey or growing up or anything. But like typically goaltenders, you didn't want to be a goaltender. Eventually, like everyone just kind of rotated goaltenders up to like 12, and then then whoever drew the shortest stick had to be the goaltender for your next team. No one really wanted to be a goaltender. They didn't really practice developing goaltenders, more of a rotating on your team who was going to be goaltender each game. But Quebec really started, in other words, in the 90s, really started like practicing these goaltenders young. And that's why you saw a lot of great goaltenders come out of Quebec in the 2000s, Roberto Luongo, Carey Price, Marc-Andre Fleury, is because Quebec was really a breeding ground for these goalies. Now the rest of the country and rest of the states have now adopted these goaltending practicing.
Sure.
But it was really Quebec who started it. So it's interesting to see if maybe Quebec's on a new innovation and see what Ottawa has learned in the Quebec leagues and with Quebec style of hockey over the past 20 odd years.
Well, listen, if Laurier has 42 shots through two periods and zero goals, I will be using that stat, and you're just gonna have to act like you've never heard of it.
Yeah,
before.
I'm gonna. Whoa, really?
Are you serious? That's what you're gonna have to say, and then I'm gonna be like, yes. Yes, that's exactly true.
Very serious. Very serious.
Peak analyst.
Yeah.
analysis. There's
analyze.
That's the unfortunate part about being a color commentator for a sport you know very little about. I mean, I can fake it, but if anyone knows hockey and is listening, they know I don't really know what I'm talking about. But I can still provide that entertainment piece.
Yeah.
I can still say what I'm seeing. Be supportive, compliment, criticize. Maybe not so much with the criticism, just because it might be unwarranted. But
yeah. That was me in basketball. I'd say and one for no reason.
Yeah, when I called the hockey, I was just always talking about the physicality along the boards,
because
that's all I could really piece together.
The other obvious one, I use it in basketball a lot too, but it does make sense. Is like momentum of the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's something that's easy to point out.
Runs.
You can add a little bit of like analysis to that point usually is pretty complete.
Definitely. Yep. And you're a big basketball guy,
Zach. Yeah.
So how's that going in the NBA?
Raptors, obviously, we're in a rebuilding stage right now. Mm-hmm. But I'm very hopeful for the future. We haven't seen a fully healthy roster yet, but RJ Barrett has looked like a star so far, averaging in the high 20s in points, I believe. And Grady Dick, second year,
Grady who?
Grady Dick.
Pause.
Grady Dick. He's looked very good, making like early in the season, of course, but making a case for most improved player. He's at like, I believe, 21 points per game.
Wow.
And he's been shooting pretty well. And he's actually been like being used by Coach Rajakovic in a lot more like dynamic sets this year, not just as a spot up shooter, but in a lot of like off ball actions towards the hoop. Like, I think that's what sets him apart from like a lot of like role player shooters in the past. He's not just standing out there waiting for a pass. He's running, he's making runs at the rim, and he's
doing some other things.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of getting involved. That's good.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, I think he's that's a very important piece of like any championship team. Scotty Barnes been playing pretty well too. Of course, it's not really adding up in the win column, but we don't expect that from the Raptors.
No.
This is it was just a transitional phase. And but in terms of building for the future, I think I give their team like an A minus through these first nine games.
I'll take an A minus. I think that's pretty good.
And now before we move on from the NBA, just your quick 30-second take on Bronny James.
Bronny James, I feel like we've covered this before, but
we have.
From like a managerial perspective, I think it's a good move to keep your star player happy. And while it probably is nepotism, like
probably
it's a low risk kind of medium reward here because the trade off of drafting somebody else that probably does deserve it more, like they're probably not seeing that much NBA play time anyways because it's a second round pick.
Yeah, well, I've heard that the average second round pick where he got drafted plays something like four games in their career on average.
Exactly. Like,
so it's a nothing pick essentially.
Mm. Yeah, so throw it away just for you know, Bronny James.
Well, you might as well.
Like, you're
not getting, it's not that much of an impact pick anyways.
If it was an impact pick and like simply just binary whether, you know, the player that, you know, the average replacement player that would have been picked in his spot would have made the NBA is very little. So in the sense that he just wouldn't have made it anyways. It's a non-impact. However, like Bronny James,
also
probably not deserving of a second-round NBA pick.
Also, could have been like a Tom Brady, though. So.
Yeah, true. Well, always the deep round, deep draft picks there.
Well, how many like does that really happen in the NBA outside of like Jokic in the second round? Like, I can't really
name. Not very likely. Yeah. Of course, the Raptors find themselves at 2-7 near the bottom of the Eastern Conference, and Bronny James and the Lakers even record NBA 500 4-4 to start this season.
Yeah, the West is looking really strong as they also were last year. Like 1-10 could make a run. Like it's not unrealistic to say that.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, well, you got the Suns, the Thunder, the Warriors, the Rockets, Timberwolves. They're all pretty strong teams. Yeah.
In the East, it's more of a concentration at the top, though, with the Cavs, Celtics.
Yeah, exactly. It's Cavs, Celtics. Knicks. And then, Cavs, Celtics, 9-0 Cavs, 7-2 Celtics. And then third place back to 500, 4-4.
Yeah, exactly.
Where 500 was 10th in the Western, 500's third in the East.
Yeah, there's just not many strong teams. Like, it wouldn't be too much of a stretch to put a bet on Celtics to run it back. So,
a shackle or two?
A shackle, maybe.
Shackle?
A shackle.
Yeah, it's like a name for...
Shekel?
A shackle.
Shackle.
Yeah, it's... I don't know. Here, let me look
I've heard of a shekel, like as a
currency. A shackle, like a form of payment.
Jarvis, look that up for us. As
a doubloon.
A pair of fetter connected together by a chain. That's not it.
No, it's not. You're right.
That's a shackle.
Anyway.
Anyway, never heard that
regardless.
Term. Regardless. You guys, speaking of like putting payment things, you guys big into the sports betting world?
No, because it just doesn't get me excited.
No?
My biggest pet, this used to be an old segment we do, my biggest pet peeves. Well, one of my biggest pet peeves is when somebody tells me that they missed a parlay by one or two legs. It's similar in golf. Like, I don't care what you shoot. I don't care about your parlay. I might like order a shirt that says I don't care about your parlay because it honestly I do not give a crap.
Oh, I think we're something else.
No. Oh, we have the bleep button. That's amazing.
Oh.
But yeah, it's like anyway, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never gotten into sports betting. I'm also like just inherently a very unlucky person in every facet of my life. So like it wouldn't turn out well.
Know yourself.
Yeah, I know my limit. I'm just I'm just a very unlucky person. Everything that can go wrong will go wrong no matter what I touch. So I think it's better for my bank account. And the betting ads. Like I don't even do it out of spite just because there's so many betting ads.
Yeah.
It's absolutely insane. I want to sit down and watch Leafs game. I'm just watching a Bet365 commercial with some hockey highlights in it.
It's toxic.
It's absurd. And
like, hi, Jamie Foxx. No, I don't want to sign up for whatever you
Yeah, hi, Wayne Gretzky or whatever betting app you're peddling now. The great one.
I think it would just like also like detract from like my enjoyment of the game. Like I wouldn't be watching the game anymore.
And now you're financially invested in it.
Yeah, exactly.
So now you're way more emotional.
This is like this is something I should be enjoying. It's like it shouldn't be like stressed.
Just
be
nice, late night entertainment.
Yeah. I love the game. I do this for the love of the game. I don't. It's not for money.
No, it's insane. You see people on like all the rich people on Twitter. It's like, I bet $100,000 on the Super Bowl.
I know,
it's
right?
Like, chill. I wish you'd chill. B, I wish I had that kind of money to throw around.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is absurd. And we might have to place a shirt order for nobody cares about your parlay.
We'll wear that on the next episode.
I think that's just
you won't be able to see it, but we will.
The visual aspect of the radio show needs some work. We should put a camera in the corner and like live stream it.
Yeah,
just to
like
see.
Clip it up. Just clip the whole podcast up.
And of course, but yeah, betting ads are just. It came to me because I was watching a video last night. Just like on YouTube before going to bed. And of course, there's like two unskippable betting ads, both 15 second long. So now I'm like, I just click, I'll go to bed now. Like, that's that's too much. And again, it was only the past couple of, you know, years since they legalized single sports betting. And even then, like, single sports betting was illegal in Ontario beforehand, but you had the ability, like, it was in single sports. You had to hit parlays essentially beforehand. You had
that was pro line.
Yeah. And stuff like that. Now, single sports betting, you can bet on like the most insane over under on the national anthem length.
Yeah,
right. That's you might have a problem.
You can bet on like the Thanksgiving dog show if you want.
the puppy bowl. Yeah. You know?
The only time I get up for sports betting is when, for the Super Bowl.
I do understand.
I enjoy the prop bets. I enjoy the Super Bowl square. Put me in it.
Yeah, yes. Love the prop bets.
Some of my friends do like bet. Like, they bet with, like, $5 or $10.
And it's with, like, a group of, like, your friends,
too, so it's more communal. It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like, I do fantasy hockey.
Exactly.
Stuff like that.
Kind of like that.
Yeah, which I enjoy. You guys do any fantasy sports?
Not in the past couple of years, but I went with my family in, like, basketball and football. But I'm not going to lie, we're all kind of casual. Like, people weren't updating their lineups every week and stuff.
Yeah,
so. I think that's the reason why we didn't do it in the past few years, because no one was really paying attention anyways.
Yeah, but I do enjoy fantasy sports just because, like also, if you are committed to setting your lineup each week, like, I'm not crazy into it and don't have, like, monitors up or anything. But it is interesting, kind of keeps, like, on your, you know, keeps, like, different, you know, players in your head and kind of get a deeper appreciation for, like, the role players and stuff like that. And looking at their stats, it's always kind of cool. You form emotional connections with players who do well. Complete parasocial relationship. With Mitch Marner, you know.
I need to find like a group here at Laurier to run some fantasy with.
Well, I'm sure every single business kid has some fantasy sport going.
I'll look, because I don't know, my friend group, like, we're all kind of just casual, like, I don't know. Maybe I gotta find a little fantasy group.
A little fantasy in your life.
And of course, I know, Zach, you're also an NFL guy.
That's right.
Of course, trade deadline was recent. Mm-hmm. How'd that go?
One of the big moves that we didn't mention last week, I think, was Marshawn Lattimore to the Washington Commanders, who are in dire need of any sort of defense. The offense has been shooting on all cylinders, but defense largely lackluster, especially the secondary. So Marshawn Lattimore to for maybe a fifth or sixth round pick is pretty. It's a pretty good trade, even though he's an older guy, but. They're trying to win now, so I respect it. And the Cowboys, shockingly, trading for a wide receiver. I believe his name is Jonathan Migbo for a fourth-round pick, which is kind of crazy seeing as the going rate for a wide receiver was around a sixth or seventh-round pick this year, especially for a star like DeAndre Hopkins, maybe not a star anymore, but still a very serviceable player.
Have you seen his
last
game? He had two touchdowns.
Yeah, he played really
well. Lit up my fantasy team. And also, before we get into the Cowboys slander, I am a fan. I do know our management is absolutely abysmal.
Yeah.
Jerry Jones needs to just hire someone.
GM.
And hire a GM, fire his son, get rid of any sort of family ties we got going on, and fire Mike McCarthy and just get rid of Dak, too. I know you're paying him probably the same amount the Washington Nationals paid Bryce Harper at one time, but like we have to just eat it. We have to completely rebuild. We're not a good football team.
Nope.
So
terrible.
My little rant on the Cowboys. We suck.
Yeah. Ground zero is what you're saying.
America's team.
Ground zero is what you're saying.
People love to hate on the Cowboys. Well, just kind of.
Everyone loves to hate on the most popular teams.
It's a guilty pleasure.
Cowboys, Yankees,
Lakers,
Leafs, Lakers. Yeah, yes. True.
Not so much Knicks anymore.
No, not as much Knicks. Tiger Woods, people love to hate on Tiger
Woods.
Yeah,
true, true.
Really?
Is
that true?
He's kind of a joke. Like, people make jokes of him because it's history and stuff like that.
Well, okay. What jokes?
Anyways, I think of, like, any other sports. It's always the most popular thing, just hate the most popular teams. Think, like, you know, like the Premier League in England. Everyone hates the, you know,
Man City,
Arsenal, those big squads who've been around a while.
Liverpool.
The Beatles. Yeah, so it's always popular.
They hate us because they ain't us. That's what they say.
I don't think anyone.
Laurier Golf.
No
too.
One. Really. Laurier Golf, though, of course, you're a member of the golf team. Of course, yes. That season wrapped up.
Wrapped up rather quickly. Yeah. It was a good time while it lasted, but the season was exceptionally short this year just due to when Thanksgiving fell. But yeah, it was a good time.
How'd the teams do?
We came second in OUAs for the fourth year. Well, technically, we came third last year, but...
technically.
I say fourth year in a row. Last year, there was an individual silver that I got, so it feels like it's been...
for you, it's the second for you.
It feels like it's been 4 years in a row of just coming up just a little bit short. Mm. So, frustrating year, but overall, we won... I think we won 5 of 8 events, so like a successful year, but
you didn't get the big one.
We didn't get the OUA championship, which is what we wanted. I think I'm coming back next year for one semester to do like an accounting thing. So
run it back.
I'll play one more year and
that'd be one and more
go
year
for it again.
Get that 1 year exercise on your contract.
The summer
player option.
didn't have my best stuff in the summer, but kind of found the swing a little bit later, kind of into the fall, and then was able to put some scores together. So played pretty good in the fall, just didn't kind of have a low one in any tournament. Kind of had a couple seconds.
But. How did the women's squad do?
They lost my friend Lauren Bevan, who is she's a very good player. So that was a tough loss. They had a couple new girls come in. They weren't exactly able to replace her, but did their best. So they did okay. I don't remember. They might have finished... They might have got OUA bronze, maybe fourth. I don't really remember. Christy Godkin, a friend of mine, fourth year BBA girl, did come individually third. So that was cool. She had a very dominant season. I think she had 3 or 4 wins just outright. So pretty pretty convincing campaign from her.
When you guys play these OUA tournaments, how many other universities are fielding golf teams?
Typically, well, that's been a point of contention. I'd like to get into it for a second.
Go for it.
So, again, not to criticize the OUA because they are partners with us, but so typically in an invitational, you're going to see anywhere between 6 and 9, right? So that's a full day of golf. You have 5, so 5 times, let's say 5 times 9 is 45, plus the girls' side. You're looking at close to 80, 90 players.
Yep.
What they did at OUAs this year, which is what they do every year, not every year, but typically they have it at one course. So they had it at Ambassador Golf Club in Windsor, and they have all of the schools come, because basically if a school is going to fund a golf program, they want them to be able to go compete at provincials, which makes sense. So Ambassador Golf Club hosts roughly 13 or 14 schools. Now, when you think not everyone has a women's team, and that's fine. But when you think 14 schools, let's say 10 of them have women's teams, that's 24 teams of an average of 4.6 or something, because women have 4, men have 5. Yep. If you put that many people on a golf course, these are shotgun starts. You put that many people on a golf course, the rounds take forever.
Yep.
They like first day I played a six hour and probably 40 minute round. I'm like, this isn't golf. I've been loose for 8 hours because I had to warm up and everything. And by the time you get off the golf course, you're just so sick of it. Like, obviously you're grinding, you're trying to do your best. But when I come off the golf course and I shoot like 73, I'm so just like, what was the point of that? I could do that in like 3 hours at home, like playing quick. I didn't even play good. Yep. Like I grinded. I tried my best, but I just didn't play good. So pace of play is just kind of become a little bit Mickey Mouse, especially when they don't have it at two courses for men's and women's. But yeah, so we still lost.
So in the end, didn't really.
As much as I complained, we still lost.
How was the Windsor Golf Course?
It was nice. So yeah. We've had some success there in the past. Unfortunately, Windsor, well, they had a couple guys very experienced at that course particularly. They had Alec Morrow, who's a Division I transfer, kind of doing his masters at Windsor. So he was pretty dominant. He played some good golf, didn't quite get it done. And my buddy Daniel Abraha actually won. He's from Queens, where I'm from, Kingston, Ontario, born and raised. He won individually at 4 or 5 under par.
Oh, wow.
So it was good to see him get the win there. But, yeah, Windsor course was good.
It was good.
It was windy. It was what we expected.
Yeah.
A little bit warmer than years past just because of how early it was in the year.
But, I guess, yeah, it was earlier than it was in past. Kevin, you're a big that's not your name. Zach.
Kevin, what?
Kevin. Do we have a Kevin on our team?
Kevin, yes. Kevin Johnson. Johnson, yeah.
That's it. Zach, you a big golf guy?
I've actually never played a round of golf.
Never played golf.
Wow.
Yeah, despite working at a golf course in high
really?
School. Yeah.
Where did you work?
In like Stouffville, Ontario.
What course?
I forgot what it's called.
That's impressive.
It's Saint something.
Spring Lakes?
St. Andrews.
St. Andrews East.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a wonderful course.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I've never played there. I've heard great things.
Yeah.
Shocking that you almost forgot.
Yeah. St. Andrews East. Yeah, that's
it. So you work there, but you never actually like just hit the driving range.
Were you in the kitchen?
Sorry?
Were you in the kitchen or?
No, I was doing bags.
Oh my gosh, that's like the prime play a ton of golf.
Really?
Job, yeah.
Oh, I was just always just kind of like hit some off the driving range when my boss wasn't looking. That's about it.
Okay.
Yeah. Drove some carts.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Golf carts are fun.
Yeah.
Nothing like working a golf course. I think I'm going to apply next summer. I'm in school full time, but I think I just got to get back
gotta
in
get
the mix.
On the golf course.
It. The camaraderies you form and the golf you play is unmatched.
I never really got into golf. Like I played a couple of golf. I never really even been able to kind of jump in and
yeah, it's sort of one of those things if you jump in and you get addicted to it, just go.
Yeah.
But if you're only going once in a while, it's kind of hard to.
The typical, I know my father plays a lot, the typical dad, you know, always playing golf, right? So he's a huge golfer and he's tried to get some of his children into it.
And where does he play?
He's typically, we're up in Barrie.
Okay. So, oh, you're in Barrie.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I forget the courses around there.
Barrie Country Club?
Country Club, no, but his friend goes there.
So Tangle there sometime. Creek?
Tanglewood.
Tangle Creek.
Yeah.
Nice.
But, so he's always tried to get us. He's 5 kids. You know, I'm 1 of 5, and none of us have picked up golf yet. Mm-hmm. So he's a bit agitated with that. He's like, I want to go golfing with my kids. And we're like, we're not good. We haven't picked it up yet. So we're ruining his 50s. Other than that, we have about 7 minutes left. I have about 8 minutes left on the program. Any sports we covered you guys want to talk about?
I'm good. I just want to encourage everyone. We got, it's a big day in program history for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Yates Cup. It's going to be spectacular. If you don't have a ticket, just ask your friends, see if they have any extras laying around, because let's fill University Stadium. Let's really get it buzzing. Like I said, I'm going for fan of the game. I'm ready to do the things that I need to do to achieve that honor.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not only ready, but I'm prepared with the proper wardrobe. I'm saving my voice. I don't know why I'm doing this show right now. It isn't too much strain, but I do.
Rusty your instrument.
Yeah, my instrument. Oh, what should I? I should bring something like to make noise.
Like the long horn.
I don't really have one. What's like a natural noise maker?
Cowbell.
That's something.
A natural noise maker. Your voice.
Yeah. No.
It's as natural as it gets.
Noise.
Are you gonna practice tonight? Practice your cheer.
I'm gonna save myself. Noise maker.
Like
from home to bring to.
That's a very specific search.
Well, it's ChatGPT. So.
Okay.
Some DIY noise maker. Water bottle shaker. Mm. Homemade cowbell. DIY Thunderstick, keys.
Just raise up, shake some keys.
Fan of the week. Do the water bottle shaker.
Shaking keys at the at Taylor Elgar's mom.
Yeah, you could fill like any container with like a bunch of like
coins,
beads.
Yeah,
or something
I'll probably do the water bottle or the container.
Coins in a can.
Yeah. Just get absolutely rowdy there.
Yeah,
so.
Mm-hmm. Get a piggy bank or something to shake.
Yeah, it'll be good. Make sure you don't miss it. And if you can't make it to the game. OUA TV, and I think they're broadcasting on CBC as well.
CBC,
so,
yeah, I know.
It's happened there. And overall, you guys have anything else?
Not really, but yes, tomorrow, Yates Cup home game, of course, all sold out, so you have to be looking for some resales if you want to get into university. And of course, you can go...
Ticket prices are 10x.
Not bad.
I'm joking.
And you can still go to like the pregame, of course, in the parking lot and its festivities.
The tailgate. it was actually popping the other day. Yeah, it's funny. I saw some of the alumni guys up crushing their Bud Lights just loving it. So
we love it. We love to see it. But of course, you won't be able to get into the game. But you can also, you know, stumble your way back to the Wolves pub. And they're, I know they're carrying in the game. That might be the move.
Yeah. So Yates Cup, November 9th, Saturday, 1 p.m.
Tomorrow, yeah.
Be there. Or watch on OUA TV. That's kind of the message.
That is the message. And of course, if you're not a football person, there's still other sports you can support if you have something against the football team. For whatever reason, there's other sports. Women's hockey tonight and tomorrow night. Of course, both home games. And the men's play Sunday afternoon at 5 p.m., I believe. The basketball teams are also playing tonight. That's an away game. You can't get tickets to it unless you want someone to leave for Sudbury. But they play in Sudbury and then play in Nipissing the following day. So lots of sports going on around campus as Connor creaks his way around the room. And anything else you want to add, Zach?
Go Golden Hawks.
Go Golden Hawks. That's the message for the Yates Cup final tomorrow. Thanks for listening here on Gold in Bold, the sound of Laurier Sports. Go Golden Hawks.